together. I have been put together by my mind. I'm going to make it with my beautiful wife, Tracy Fry. Esther, for a long time. The Man Cave with my beautiful wife, Tracy from
Esther 414 Ministries.
Tracy, thank you for being here this morning. And all of you listening here in the AM, I want to say thank you. Tracy is drinking out of Life is Good, and so am I. Hey guys, today we're going to be in Ephesians. We're going to be looking at an awesome verse, very encouraging, very uplifting. Really puts things in perspective, helps me to relax as a Christian, realizing the battle's already won and God has done everything on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. You know what my favorite verses in the Bible is? Where the king is stressed out. Why is he stressed out? Well, three invading armies are about to rip his head off, kill everyone, rape the women, chop everyone up. And you know what? He's given this word. Stand still.
The battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord.
Isn't that the most powerful words? Just stand still. Yeah. The battle does not belong to you. If I could say anything to you today, men, women, in the Man Cave, in Esther, this battle isn't yours. It's God's.
Yeah.
I don't want to be rude because I love each and every one of you, okay? Get out of the way. Allow God to fight your battles for you.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I used to fight my own battles. And I sucked. I mean, I really did. I messed everything up. There was always problems after the fact of fighting my own battles, trying to win my own victories.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, you will carry collateral damage for years that God allows. Because I've heard this, and I can't say this, thus saith the Lord, but I've heard this before. If you want to fight your own battles, sometimes God says go for it.
He'll let you.
He will take a step back and you will fail miserably.
He says, if you want to fight, I won't.
I don't know where in my life I started stepping back and started. I don't know when it was. I think it was in the last couple years, maybe. I think maybe it's something we have to learn. It's a faith. It's a trust thing. And there came a time in my life that I finally just got to the place where I can't fight this anymore. Yes. This is bigger than me.
Yeah.
I need to allow God to fight it.
And this is what Satan wants to convince everybody of, is that you have to fight your own battle.
Oh.
That no one else is going to fight for you, least of all God.
What a liar.
It's this old cliche that everybody thinks is biblical. You know, God helps the man who helps himself.
No.
God does not want you having an independent streak.
He wants
you leaning on him, trusting in him, and not trusting in yourself, but trusting in God. And God will let you know if he needs any help, which normally he doesn't.
It's so powerful. One of my favorite statements, and I can't tell you who I heard it from, what pastor, what man, what book. It says, when God looks at us, he looks at us in light of eternity. Mm. And it went on to explain the concept, God can see the finished product, where we just see our life, the grind, where we are right now, our problems, you know. And we tend to focus on those things and not on God. I read this morning. I didn't read this to you. So Tracy's hearing this for the first time. The great Italian sculptor Michelangelo once said, in every block of marble, I see a statue as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and actions. I only have to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely thing. Mm. Oh my gosh. And every imperfection, jagged edge, bulky and unshaped block of marble he set his eyes on, Michelangelo saw the treasure within. He once described the process this way. Now, this isn't biblical.
Okay.
This is just an example. This is Michelangelo, what he said. I saw the angel in the marble and carved it until I set him free. He could do this because Michelangelo didn't see what the marble was. He saw what the marble could be.
You know what reminds me of Judges, I want to say chapter 6, with Gideon, and the angel of the Lord stands before him. He says, you mighty warrior, basically, is what he's saying.
Oh, yeah, even in my, guys, warrior. In my pocket right now, I always have this in my pockets. I think it's this side. No, that's Joshua. Here we go. The Lord is with you. It's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
Gideon's almost like looking around like, who are you talking to? Yeah, no, it's not me.
They are being invaded, plummeted,
yeah,
just overran by the enemy, the Gibeonites. And he's hiding as he threshes wheat. And I just, I think I did this on a tier level reward for the man cave.
Oh, okay.
And I was using this illustration. And it's so funny because he's hiding as he's threshing wheat. You would never thresh wheat inside because the wheat
all
is
the
on,
dust
yeah,
and
it's
all the,
on
yeah.
a screen. And you shake the screen and it gets rid of the chaff. Then you throw the wheat up.
Yeah.
The wheat falls down. The chaff gets blown away. If you do it inside, it would be the equivalency of being in a very small room and just opening bags and bags and bags of flour and just throwing them up in the air.
It would be so
crazy because the chaff is just disintegrating.
You'd almost have to put something over your nose and your mouth to be able to breathe.
And so he's fearful. Yeah. This is Gideon. He's scared.
Yep.
He's terrified. He doesn't like his current circumstances. He doesn't like what's going on. And the angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus. Before he was born of a virgin, he shows up prior to his birth. And they used to describe this as the angel of the Lord.
Right.
And he would show up and he says, oh, mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Is that the best?
And
the Lord is with you.
And what's funny is that's like God seeing us as he sees us.
Yeah.
You know, that this is what I know you can be.
And you know what? How many times, see, because God knows the beginning from the ending. God sees everything. He actually knows how he's gifted us.
Mm.
And watch this. I've been talking about this over the last couple weeks. The seeds that he's planted in us, maybe they're not harvested, they're not fertilized, they're not watered, but they're there. We don't see them, but he sees the potential because he's already given us the gifts. And then he asks us to do something. Blackaby would say this, that God would ask us to join him in what he's doing. What do you and I like to do? Well, Lord, would you bless this endeavor?
We come up with these crazy ideas. Yeah.
And we're like, Lord, will you bless this?
This sounds like a great idea.
The difference is God will invite you to join him. Not you inviting God to join you.
Yeah.
Big difference.
Uh-huh.
So Michelangelo could look at a humongous block of marble.
Yeah.
And as he looked at it, who knows whether he's saved or lost. That's not my point in this story, you know.
Yeah.
God is the deciding factor with that. It's not Matt, it's not Tracy, it's not the preacher. One day we will fall or we will stand by our relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. I can't say you're saved and not saved. You know, God decides that. He really does. But he could look at this big chunk of marble and he could see things and he felt like he could chisel away until he set that, whatever it was, free. I think that is awesome. Read to me Ephesians.
Okay.
I think it's 2:8, 9, and 10.
Okay.
And our key verse is 10, but it's a shame if I don't put 8 and 9 because it is a bedrock foundational statement. And I love it.
Yeah.
But again, the verse that we're really hitting hard on is 10. But I love 8 and 9. So it's a free one for you guys. It's a free one.
Verse 8, Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you are saved through faith. And this is not for yourselves. It is a gift of God.
So it is not of works, it's God's grace.
Yeah, that's the next sentence in verse 9. It is not from works so that no one can boast.
No one will ever stand before God. No one, guys. Watch this. And say, well, Lord, this is what I did with my life.
Yeah, I did this, and this.
I did this, and this, and I.
So I deserve to go into heaven.
That's not going to happen.
No.
And I just don't think people understand this verse. This is such a powerful verse because you are walking in this life wanting and making decisions based on being a child of Satan. We were all destined for hell, everyone.
Yep.
There's none right. Paul says it this way in chapter 3 of the book of Romans, which is my favorite book, epistle. Yeah. He says, there's none righteous, no, not one. He's talking about the world. There's none that understand God. there's none that seek God. Yeah. He goes up over the top and he says, all men, women, all of humanity, other than Jesus Christ, have gone out of the way and they've done their own thing.
Yeah.
Their mouth is like a sepulcher. Yeah. What they speak is like the poison of asps. You know, he talks about a grave. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our destiny, is hell and the grave. The wages of sin is death. And so, I mean, we're hopeless and helpless, but we're not even worried about it. Lost man. See, there's no one ever coming to God saying, I want to go to heaven.
Yeah, no one's chasing down God.
No one is chasing God down. No one's even interested in God. And God comes along by his Holy Spirit, by grace. Because we don't deserve it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ comes along by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he turns that which is dead in you, and he makes it alive. He doesn't do it for everyone.
Yeah.
He gives you a spirit of repentance. He gives you Jesus' righteousness. And now it's a matter of time before you pray, you confess, you get right with God. It's just a matter of time. Meaning that which is dead has now become alive, so it has to grow.
Yeah.
It has to. There's no other. In your own way, you will come to God. So 9 tells us it's by grace that you are saved through faith. Faith, people don't understand this, is a gift. We have basic faith. Meaning when I sit on a chair, when I sit on a couch, when I get on a roller coaster ride, I have faith that it's going to hold me up and the roller coaster is not going to crash, right?
Yeah.
Okay. There is spiritual faith. It's a gift from God. All men do not have it. Mm-hmm. On top of that, you're given what's called a spirit of repentance, meaning you start to see your sins against heaven, against his throne, his kingdom, against him, his holiness. And you are able to say, I'm sorry. I mean, and truly mean it. A lot of, and Tracy and I know this because we've been to so many hospitals when people were dying. And it's just part of being a minister. You're called up all hours of the night and you go to the hospital and you, a lot of times we're listening, a lot of times we're praying. A lot of times that person is already gone. I mean, they're literally already gone. But sometimes they're not and we get to talk to them. Mm-hmm. It is the rarity that someone truly gives their life over to the Lord because they've rejected God and God hasn't given them a spirit of repentance. Yeah. It said, seek me while you can find me today. And this is what the Bible says, guys. Mm. Today is the day of salvation, right here, right now, this morning, when you're listening to this, is getting right with God because you don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the next hour holds. You don't. So our salvation, our relationship, being a child of God, is by grace. It's all God choosing, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's no one going to tout to God what they did in this life. And yes, there are wonderful things that we do when we join God. But there's all kinds of stuff we do thinking these are wonderful works, and God never led us to do any of them.
Yeah.
And those, God says, are burned up. Hay, wood, and stubble. The only rewards we get is when we join God in what he is doing. And so when you have a person that believes, well, my good will outweigh my bad, or a person who believes, you know, I think there's good in everyone. Well, that's not what God says. That's not what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And where we have some huge problems, and you were just reading about this and I was too, is China is rewriting the Bible to make it more communist friendly. And one of the things that they are doing is changing the deity of Christ into that of a normal man. They're taking the God out of the God man and just making him a great teacher. And they've had scholars working on this for years. Because they're always fighting the Christians, and Christians they don't understand it, are willing to lose their lives. They're dying all of the time, and the whole concentration camp isn't enough. Because what China and those leaders don't understand is when God comes in a person and makes that which was dead alive, there's nothing you can do about it. God doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And you know, I just thought this today when we were driving, the whole gender thing now, and you know, wherever we were, I was talking to someone and they, you know, I think I offended them because I think I always say, thanks, man. You know, that's, yeah. I've been doing that for years. Thanks, man. I appreciate it, man. And they looked at me real strangely, like they were transitioning. Here's the thing. Whatever parts you were born with, mm-hmm. that's what you are, because God doesn't make mistakes.
Yeah.
There are no mistakes with God. None. He said to Jeremiah, I know you or knew you in the womb. I knew you before the foundations of the earth, and I'm going somewhere, which is number 10, our key verse. Go to number 10.
Okay. For we are his workmanship.
Oh.
Having been created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand so we may do them.
God prepared him. You know what that means? I have a destiny. God has a perfect will for my life.
Yep.
There is something that God has assigned me to do here on planet Earth,
yeah.
rather than ease, comfort, and pleasure, gather toys, get bigger houses, build bigger barns,
yeah.
you know, conquer the world, seek pleasure no matter what it costs. You know, I mean, it's crazy when we start talking like that, because that's the world that we live in now. And God is saying that, you know,
he's created and prepared them beforehand. And what's so funny is sometimes people will interpret that as meaning, I got to go and find out and figure it out.
No, it's already inside you.
Yeah, oh, God's, he will lead you. He will bring it along. He will let you know.
He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You know, he has all the power. But he hides his power. He's omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. So he knows what I'm going to do a week from now, a month from now, a year from now. There isn't one rogue atom flying around the universe rebelling against God. The only thing that rebels in all of the universe is fallen angels and people. Everything else knows its place.
Yeah.
Jesus even said when he was walking, because the Pharisees were rebuking him, that all the people were worshiping him. Yeah. He says, hey, if I tell them to hush, I guarantee the rocks would cry out because it is a point in time where worship was needed. It was, this is the time. Worship me. I'm going to give my life. Okay. It is proper. It is acceptable. And though we read throughout scripture, which is funny, when an angel sometimes shows up on the scene, the person falls down to the ground and they want to worship. And you know what the angel says? Don't worship me. I'm a fellow worker. Yeah. I'm a fellow servant.
Yeah.
You don't worship angels, but the tendency is to worship the angel because that angel has been in the presence of God. And we can't, you know, like Moses, he wanted to see God. And God's like, you can't see me, Moses.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll throw you in the cleft of the rock, put my hand over you when I go past you, and you can see my glory. But just the glory that was shown off the backside of God with God blocking the glory somewhat was enough to make him glow. Mm. And the people couldn't even look upon him.
Yeah. And now when Jesus would show up as the angel of the Lord and a person went to worship him, he would allow it.
Yeah.
Because, yes, you can worship the
Lord.
Yeah,
there are some great stories in the Bible where people were worshiping, okay, the angel of the Lord, and the angel of the Lord allowed it. Why? Yeah. It's Jesus.
Yeah.
He is God.
Yeah.
So God has a purpose for us. He has a plan for us. It's for good and not
evil.
Evil.
It's for his glory, too.
Yeah. When God looks at us, he sees something far different than we see in the mirror. Mm. We see all of our failures.
Yeah.
All like today. Let me just ask you. It's a one word. You just give me the answer. While we were going through the drive-thru, did I blow it? Yes or no?
Yes.
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 Okay, so none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. And,
we all fall short.
Here's the thing. We just repent when we lose it. Because let me ask you this. Was I in the spirit when I did what I did?
No.
What was I in? My flesh.
Yeah.
I was in my flesh.
1 John chapter 1 says,
if
we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Yep.
Some people don't want to forgive their sins.
This is just the way I am. Can't teach a dog new tricks.
Or they think that God can't forgive them of some of their sins. And
yeah.
Now you're putting your sins above Jesus' blood.
I'll share this with you guys. This is a story from my first church. Wonderful, wonderful first church. Didn't have problems. Honestly, I had the struggles of every pastor in a church.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until the last night that I preached that I felt like I had problems.
Yeah.
And that was because the church had done some things. And I'm not going to badmouth the church. But there was a person in the church. I'm not going to even mention his name. But he used to tell me that all the time. In one way or another. In one manner or another. Can't teach a dog new tricks.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I always remembered. He didn't say it always like that. But he did say it in so many different ways. And he's gone on now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone. He's no longer a few years back. I came across his obituary and I was reading it. And I didn't know. And that's what's scary to me. Because like I said in the beginning of this devotion, that's God's decision. It's not Matt's decision.
Yeah.
There are things to me that are telltale signs that a person has problems.
Yeah.
Because, watch this, guys. Because of who God is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so when I see these different things in individuals, and I'm not going there, it's kind of a telltale sign that, hey, there's a disconnect here. We got to get this straight. You got to get this straight. You got to repent. You got to turn. And while you're walking upon the planet here, now, you can get it right. I always say you're a 30-second prayer from repenting, from turning, from saying, Lord, I blew it. Just like I blew it today. Forgive me. That's what I said. You know? I mean, it's the same prayer. The same prayer, you know, is the same prayer that all of us could say. Lord, you're right. See, true repentance isn't just lip service to God. True repentance is this. It's an about face.
Yeah.
I'm saying, Lord, what you say in your word is right.
Yeah.
I agree with what you say, what the Spirit validates in my heart. And I need help. See, it's okay to acknowledge, say, Lord, you're right. Forgive me. Help me.
Yeah.
I need to be empowered. I need strength.
Yeah.
I've been doing this, believing this, part of this for all of my life. And I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I mean, there is nothing wrong with that prayer. Lord, I am stuck. But to dig our heels in like this man did and just to double down on your righteousness, on God himself couldn't change you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And I hope, honestly, this is the honest truth, because we had left that. We were gone from that church for how many years? How many years has that church been? That was our first church. We were there 4 years.
Yeah.
I learned a lot at that church.
Over 10 years?
It's been over 10 years. A lot of miracles happened at that church.
Yeah.
So, oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I saw miracles. Literal miracles happen. I mean, just miracle after miracle after miracle. And that was against the odds because of different dynamics and different things. And I hope he got right. I truly do. Early on, this is me. This is terrible. This is sometimes people that we don't care for, people we don't get along. We kind of think in our heart, well, I can't wait to them to get with God and him to judge them. Guys, hell is so terrible. I don't wish that on even the people that don't like me. I don't want hell for them. I want them to just do a little bit of research. You know, why does the Bible say what it says? Why is God against this and for this? Well, you know, show me why. The Holy Spirit says he will lead you into all truth. There are certain things that people can, you know, they can do that contradict God's word. Revelation is a perfect example. It says, if you add to the word of God, he adds the plagues.
Mm.
Part of the plagues, was cancer. I mean, there's all these different plagues. Another one, he says, if you take away from the word of God, he takes your name out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, do I understand that fully?
No.
I don't. You know, because when we're what we're talking about is election. We're talking about, you know, God's decretive will, his permissive will. It's not his will. And this is, I've always thought this was interesting. God says, it's not his will that any should die and perish. That's not what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he doesn't make it happen for everyone. Because if God decreed that every person should and could be saved, they would.
Yeah.
if he decreed it. So when he speaks that, it's not his will that any should perish. You have to realize that is his permissive will. That is the heart of God. God loves you. God loves his creation. When we look at John 3:16, that's the premise.
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, and he does. He loves his creation. But that love is not going to keep you out of hell if you decide mm-hmm. to go the opposite direction of God.
Yeah.
But enough negativity.
Yeah.
God says this, I'm working on you.
Yeah.
You're my workmanship. He sees you as you don't see yourself.
Yeah.
And we just need to line up with the great sculptor
yeah.
and allow him to chisel. And let me ask you this. This is just me and you talking. Just how bad does it hurt when he sculpts? Honestly.
Oh, getting you into the character that he wants you to be.
But just imagine that God is, you're a piece of marble and he's just chiseling on you. And see, in the beginning, it's not small chips coming off that marble.
Yeah.
It's huge chips. And if the marble could talk, what would it be saying? Ouch. It hurts.
Yeah.
And, you know, God is so good to us. But we know the story that about the 99 sheep and he loses one, or the 100 sheep and he loses one. He goes after that sheep.
Yeah.
And we think that's such a nice fairy tale story.
Yeah,
tell the people listening. I know I've said this many times. You know, I have 100 sheep and then, you know, they're all my sheep. And you know, I can imagine the shepherd being in beautiful, brilliantly white clothes and they've been washed in downy and just a handsome shepherd with maybe a red scarf or something. He has the latest keen, you know, he has the latest keen sandals on and come back here, you sheep. Come. It's not like that.
Let's go behind the scenes.
Let's go behind the scenes to Israel. Higher, let's go. When there is a rogue sheep to this day in Israel.
And now we're talking about a rogue sheep that is continually wandering off, wanting to go on his own path, do his own thing.
And let me tell you why.
And the shepherd will go and get him and bring him back. But when that doesn't work.
Yeah, and let me tell you why what the shepherd's going to do is so severe. Because sheep are stupid.
Yeah.
Meaning God is saying, you're stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, don't take offense. You are compared to him.
When he's calling you a sheep. He's calling you stupid.
He's saying that's why you need a
shepherd.
You need a shepherd. But one rogue sheep can lead many sheep astray. Yeah. And what's funny is this has happened before.
That sheep.
One sheep will go over a cliff, and until the shepherd runs over there, 10 might follow.
They'll
and they all die. They'll just keep on walking right after that sheep. And that's why, guys, you hear me say this. I tell you what, if anyone wants to go through the whole man cave and count how many times I have said this, I'd probably buy you a Dairy Queen Blizzard. Or you could just say I come up with the number because I'm not going to follow and check it up. We don't follow other men.
Mm-mm.
We follow God.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know?
Yeah.
Because men can fail you. Yeah. And how do we know that? Because every person listening to this has failed them.
Yeah. Let
betrayed
them,
backstabbed them. Yeah. I mean, how many times have we gotten a call in the night or an email, someone's getting a bitter divorce, and it's, you know, I was like, I can't believe it, you know?
Yeah, and see, we're like those sheep following that one rogue sheep going over the cliff.
Yeah.
And we'll just follow behind this person, you know?
And then when they fail, and that's oftentimes, there's people in churches, and they follow the man.
Yeah.
Everything he says. Friends, if your pastor isn't preaching this, I don't care how charismatic he is, how wonderful he is, how kind and how much he loves you. He's a false teacher. He's a false prophet.
Mm.
And I'm not talking about making a mistake. I've made huge mistakes before, having to come back and apologize. It was an error, you know, not understanding something correctly early on.
Yeah.
Let me throw that out there. We all make mistakes, but I'm talking about someone who is just teaching a false Christianity.
Intentionally.
You know? Intentionally.
And it's consistent.
For gain. Oftentimes it's for money, for influence, for power, you know, for whatever. So what happens?
We're back to the sheep.
We're back to the sheep.
The rogue sheep that continually
He's 50 feet away, but he's done this.
He's always done this.
Yes, he's done this about 15 times. And you know, the shepherd, he's very patient, is he not?
Oh, yeah.
Is he full of long-suffering?
Oh, he
What about love? Does the shepherd have love?
And he loves his sheep.
And mercy and grace. This is a great shepherd. And so he walks, he tells the other sheep that we'll listen to him.
Wait.
And guess what the sheep do? They listen.
Yeah.
Oh my. So he walks over to the sheep. Go ahead.
He goes over to the sheep in love.
In love.
And he doesn't want anything happening to the sheep.
No, nothing at all.
So he takes that sheep. And he loves on him.
Yeah.
And he breaks his leg.
on purpose.
Yeah, he intentionally breaks
the sheep's leg.
And then he sets the leg.
But
now, can the sheep walk?
Nope.
Not at all.
What's the shepherd? So this is he a dead sheep? I mean, he needs to walk.
He can hobble on three paws.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
So what's the shepherd do?
He throws him over his shoulders and he'll carry him like that.
Yeah, that big fuzzy sheep.
Yeah.
And see, this is a big decision on the shepherd's part because that sheep.
A heavy sheep.
Yeah, that sheep can weigh 140, 150
Especially
pounds.
Especially if he has all of his wool on him.
Yeah, and now that, you know, he's having to swat. You know what I'm saying? Swat all that. Because that would tickle. That would be tickling my ears and everything else. For the next 6 to 8 weeks, that sheep will stay close to the shepherd. Yeah. But after about 8 weeks, then the splint comes off.
Yeah.
And guess what the sheep will never, ever do again?
Wander off.
He will never wander from the master.
He stays right there with the shepherd.
Yeah. I mean, all the sheep can go astray, but that one sheep will never leave him again. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that
is it any wonder we go through the things that we go through? Is it any wonder? I mean, literally.
Huh?
Is it any wonder some of the things that you and I and everyone else that we hear these stories that God has allowed this into their life?
Oh.
And God, and you know, and what are they praying? God, get me out of this. God, do this. And God says, no, I won't do any of those things. I will walk you through it.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to.
I'm throwing you over my shoulders right now. Yeah. I've broken your leg and I'm taking you through it.
What's that right there? Oh, what is that? Is that just the most fashionable thing you've ever seen?
It sure is.
Wow.
A little brace there.
Oh, yeah. Wonder what that is. Yeah.
The Lord, He wants us to learn things. And sometimes the only way for us to learn that is the hard way. When you go through that hard storm, boy, do you learn that lesson, and you aren't quick to repeat that.
No, we won't.
Mm-mm.
There comes a point in time, you know, with all of us that I learned early on in the book of Judges, Israel would sin against God. And what would happen is God would allow calamity into their lives, into the nation. And then they would start crying out. They would repent. They would cry out. They'd say, Lord, save us. Lord, help us. Lord, restore us. Yeah. Lord, redeem us. And God would pause just a little bit, let a little bit of time go by.
Yeah.
And then He would show up and show out in a mighty way, almost like Gideon.
Yeah.
And then the cycle would start again. Then everything would be good. All the blessings of God, the latter rains, all of these different things. And a certain amount of time would go by, and then they would forget what they had gone through.
Yeah.
And that's where Ebenezer's came from, because God was saying, hey, why don't you set up some Ebenezer's and tell your children's children about these things, you know, so you don't have to go through this again. Oh, no, we promise not to go through it. And then there grew a generation who knew not God, and then they would have to do the same thing, except when they cried out to God, Lord, save us, Lord, heal us, Lord, redeem us, Lord, protect us, Lord, you know. God would pause.
It got a little bit longer
because God's like, are you serious? And so he would use pain, as C.S. Lewis said, as a megaphone to a lost and dying person, nation.
If you go back and look in the book of Judges, you're not talking a few months or a year.
Years.
It was years, sometimes 20 years, 40 years.
And he used
a long time.
What's so funny is because sometimes people, they'll speak to us. They're like, oh, I think God's calling me to do this. But that's not me. You know, when God calls you, He qualifies you.
Yeah.
Because I love some of the judges. I love Gideon. Gideon makes me laugh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, even though Gideon is talking to God, and he's preparing food for God.
Yeah.
He still lacks faith. And God says, I'll tell you what.
Incompetence.
Yeah, confidence. Go down to the camp, the enemy's camp.
Yeah.
And someone is basically saying, hey, I had this dream. And yeah, it was a dream about Gideon. You know, and that's all he needed, you know. And then, I mean, talking about, and if you have a huge, huge army behind you, you have a little confidence in your army. You're like, oh man, these guys are mercenaries. Yeah. This is, you know, God's made my hand for wars, my feet like hinds' feet. You know, I'm ready. But God narrows it down to 300.
Oh,
I mean, just ridiculous. But if God be for me, who can be against me? Yeah. When God calls, he's the qualifier. When God looks at your life, he sees the potential. He sees the gifts. He sees the seeds that he's placed within your life. You don't see them. You haven't watered them. You haven't cultivated them. He says, plow up the ground. I love that text where it says, get the rocks. Because sometimes we have rocks in our garden. Oh. He's planted all these gifts and all these wonderful things. We're crying out because we don't see anything. We're just experiencing the hardships of life because God's trying to get our attention. And what do you call it? Fallowed ground? Hollow ground?
Fallow ground.
Fallow ground. In that text in the Bible, it's amazing. He's saying go through the garden of your life. Get rid of the weeds, get rid of the stones, get rid of all the garbage, you know, get it out of there so we can do some growing.
Yeah.
And I love it. And I love this, that we are his workmanship.
Yeah.
You know what? You may not look at your life today and see it, but God's proud of you. You're like, oh no, Matt. God's proud of you. Why? How could he be proud of me? Let me just tell you this. Mm-hmm. Because he sees the finished product. He knows you're going to make it to the finish line. He knows, guys, this is going to hurt. If you want to click it off right now. No, I'm not kidding. If you want to click it off right now. Go your merry way. Just give me a thumbs up. Are you still here? Since he sees the finished product, he knows what it's going to take to get you there. And sometimes there are no words to describe how much he will put you through to get you there if you fight him.
Yeah.
Friends, I want to just give you some advice. Mm-hmm. Don't you ever go into the octagon with King Jesus. You will be destroyed. You will be slammed. Even Job, a righteous man, one that run from evil, I mean, they just don't make him like Job. God says this, where were you, Job? And then my favorite verse, I think it's in 38 or 30, maybe 40. It says, are you going to discredit me? This is God speaking.
Yeah.
So you can stand in righteousness, meaning you want to discredit my decision to allow this into your life so you can feel like you are right?
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't think it. And then Job says, I've spoken once, which was once too many. I repent, and in dust and ashes, I will speak no more.
Do you know what's interesting is sometimes we will pray for things and not realize what we're praying for.
Oh.
One of the things that...
I don't even want to preach it. Go ahead. It's on you. It's on you.
We'll say, no, I'm not even thinking about patience.
Oh my gosh.
It's another one. And we'll say, oh Lord, I want you to use this in a real and mighty way. I want you to use us in ministry whatever, you know. What you're not understanding.
In order for that to take place,
God has to take you through so much training ground.
He has
to. The boot camp. He's got it.
Boom.
Oh, yeah.
That one prayer, I want to say this. That one prayer is 25 years. When you pray that sincerely unto God. I mean, I don't want to scare anyone off.
Yeah.
But A.W. Tozier said this. It is doubtful that God has ever used anyone greatly without hurting them deeply. There's many variations of that, but A.W. Tozier did coin that, and he saw it over and over and over again in his life, in his ministry, with other men of God that God used. See, God's not worried about how old you are. He's not worried about how smart you are. He's not worried about a degree. He's looking for willingness, empty buckets, someone to just do what he says, and he, again, will get you to that place.
Oh, he will take you through
Take you through it.
Because, see,
strip everything away.
to use
you. I mean, strip everything.
To use you mightily in ministry or for his purposes.
It has to be about him, his glory.
Well, not just about God's glory. God will have to perfect your character.
Oh, yeah.
So he can use you in that way. Yes. Oh, my goodness. And you don't realize how much perfecting has to be done in your life. And see, you can elongate that by what you're saying.
Fighting.
By fighting, by not getting what it is that God is trying to get through your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he'll take you through the same test over and over. He has to get it
out. He has to get all the dross out. Yeah. And again,
he'll take you through the illustration over and over.
You have the illustration of when they're purifying gold.
Yeah.
They have that gold in the kiln, and then they crank the heat up, and that flame, and that gold is like almost boiling, and then they turn the flame down, not all the way off, it's just down, and they skim off the dross. And you would think, oh, good, it's over, right?
Yeah.
No. They do that 8 to 15 times. Then they turn up the heat.
Depending
on
how much impurities are in it.
Yeah, then they turn it up. And again, they skim off the dross.
Yeah.
Then they turn it down. And they turn it up. And then they turn it down and they turn it up. And there's a point where the goldsmith can look into the gold and he can see his reflection perfectly. There's no more dross. God gets it out of us one way or another. You're his workmanship.
Yep.
Have a great day.
Yeehaw.
We love you.
Yep.
Cling to verses 8 and 9 right there. Thank God that you're saved.
Yeah.
I really, you know, I can't say this, saith the Lord, but if a person comes back and they continue learning and they love the Lord, you know, God's working on them. He really is. Everyone's on a different timeline.
Yeah.
God knows what it takes with all of us. And don't think you can't be broken. We all have a breaking point. You can ask Tracy about that.
Yeah.
I didn't, years back, think I had a breaking point. And guys, let me just tell you this. I broke hard. I broke so hard. There's no words to describe it. Even I can't even talk about how bad I broke. And it started on a single day. And it lasted for years. I don't know that it didn't last for 6, 7 years, 8 years, till God decided to redeem what I was and get me out of me. I always say you can take the person out of Egypt, but you can't take Egypt out of the person.
Only God can do that.
God can do it.
Yes, he can.
Yeah. So we love you guys.
Yep. Be encouraged, though, because he has good works in store that he's prepared ahead of time for you, and he'll bring it along for you. You don't have to go searching for it.
Yeah, not evil, but good. Love you. Bye.